the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
And we are back with another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your host. I'm the Enforcer. He's the Stallion. And it's a new day here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. So,
Alrighty, with the puns.
All right. It's topical. It's like an ointment.
That's topical.
Yeah, that is topical. So we are back at the All Night Asylum. That's it. Let's go with that. This is the All Night Asylum. I like that name. So, once again, as always, we are brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network. You could find us there at Spreaker.com/show/ANLWP. You could find us at Facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. You could find us at Twitter or Instagram at AllNightLongWP. Have I successfully touched on all those? That's all of our lines of communication, right?
Yes.
Good. So, back here, and I just realized we're freestyling this. We got nothing up here. I don't even know what we're going to talk about.
That's a little bit of peek behind the curtain for everybody back there.
Yeah. Actually, all I'm going to do this episode is try not to get you to kill yourself.
Okay. Well, that's.
I don't know how long, tough task ahead of me, my friend.
Keep that up for quite a while, my friend. I don't know how long the show's going to take, but
keep it up for quite a while. Sounds like some Brad Maddox would do. Let's start back and work our way forward. We took last week off mainly because I'm a piece of shit.
Was that another page in the window or start back and work our
way forward? Oh wow, that is so bad. No, that wasn't. I legitimately meant like chronologically.
I think like everything we say could probably be spun into a page page situation. So. Should we just tell everybody what we're talking about?
In case anybody hasn't seen? I don't know if we should. I feel like it's probably not appropriate.
What do you mean?
Go ahead. Whatever. Just go ahead.
I'm not going to go any crazy with it or anything like that.
Yeah. But just say Paige was on up, up, down, down.
Oh, see, now you're worried about what I'm going to say.
She was on the show once. She was on up, up, down, down.
I'm sure she was.
Up, 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 down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Up, down, up, down.
I think she definitely was. Well, some nude photos leaked of Paige today and some live action videos of WWE Diva, women's wrestler Paige.
Diva? Whoa, this isn't last year whenever they changed that. Not a big deal.
So that's, I guess, unfortunate for her.
Yes.
Less unfortunate for the rest of us who've been circulating the videos for the last 12 hours. So
also incredibly unfortunate for Consequences Creed and for Brad Maddox.
He's probably fine, I think.
Brad Maddox?
Yeah.
He was fine until that last video got out. Now I feel like people are questioning a lot about Brad Maddox.
Okay.
But there's just a lot going on in the business today. But can we be done with that now? Now we're done?
Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there for everybody so everybody knew what we were referring to. So if we make any off color jokes related to Paige in the next 45 minutes to an hour, that's what we're referring to,
yeah.
And I think we'll look back fondly upon this podcast if we listen to it 6 to 12 months from now and remember this day as the day that all the Paige, sex videos got leaked. So.
I mean, I was trying to beat around the bush, and not say exact.
Come on, dude. Just,
We're
live on Facebook.
Really not what I meant. We were trying to say without saying it.
So you had mentioned to me before we went on the air that you wanted to
Hold on. Time out. I said a lot of things. I'm not sure what you're going
to
say.
You had mentioned you want to talk about ROH a little bit. We had gone to a show 2 weekends ago.
So this is where... So you cut me off and you insinuate I'm making an off-color joke about something, but I was legitimately speaking chronologically. We should start with Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem and work our way forward to now. I also have a promo I'm going to cut on the WWE later. I think you know what I'm going to, and you're probably going to dispute it, but I'm angry. I'm angry about a lot of things.
I will cut a response promo then.
You know what I'm not angry about? This fantastic haircut and fade brought to you by my friends over at the Iron and Tread Barbershop. My man Vintendo64 on Instagram really hooked me up.
I think that's good. It's a solid handle.
Vintendo. Yeah, his name is Vin, so we went Vintendo. He's a great guy. And they've run a great barbershop. So, no, we're not sponsored by them. I just kind of want to put them over because I feel like the guy cut my hair pretty nice.
He deserves that. It's a great haircut.
Polishing a turd, pal. Doing the best I can here.
That's terrible.
Anyway, so back to Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem. Once again, you and I, the front row FRC, the front row crew? Is it like the BDC, like that? So we went to Manhattan Mayhem. We expected a good show. I think we got a great show. And we got two surprises that literally, if you were following us on Twitter, this is why you should follow us on Twitter, because I was breaking news the entire time. I was tweeting stuff that even Fancy Dan Biceps Meltzer wasn't tweeting. And then he asked me for a little autograph. No. I sent him in the results because that's what he wanted to do, but he didn't put me over. We need to deal with those, you know, the kids on the train. I'm there trying to write down the results of the show, and we didn't even get put over.
That's true. We did put in a good effort for that, though, at least.
We did. So we went to Manhattan Mayhem, and I mean, we don't have to go over the entire card, but some bright spots of the card. Where do you want to start? I mean, the opening match was Chris Daniels versus TK O'Ryan, who had a rough week.
Yeah, TK O'Ryan of the body break. What did he break? Is it his ankle?
Or it was his shin. You and I were watching live when he did the Acai Moonsault. Was it Acai Moonsault or was it off the turnbuckle? I forget.
I think it was Acai Moonsault.
Acai Moonsault. Too sweet to RJ, who hit us with the Adam Cole, baby. Appreciate that, buddy. And so TK O'Ryan versus Christopher Daniels was the first match. And it was Christopher Daniels looking strong going into the 15th anniversary pay-per-view. Now, my question for you is, Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem was a Saturday.
Yeah.
It was Saturday, and then the following Friday was the pay-per-view.
Yes.
You really can't further any feuds on a house show that you put on demand the day of the pay-per-view, right? Going into the pay-per-view, at least? Like,
I guess not a lot. I mean, I'm sure if they wanted to shoot some angles or something, they could post the video on Twitter or even just results or something like that to say, like, oh, you know, so-and-so attacked so-and-so and, you know, whatever it might be.
I think that's why you and I, not that we weren't expecting a great show, because we always do expect good shows from Ring of Honor, but we weren't expecting, like, a title change or, you know, stuff like that. And we were surprised. But so going forward, we have Chris Daniels beat TK O'Ryan. Second match of the night was...
Yeah, Duelist of Memory. That's cool. I think Dalton Castle beat Colt Cabana, I'm pretty sure.
We called that a pee break.
Yeah. Went to the t-shirt stand. They were out of t-shirts. That's weird. I don't know how this all works. They don't sell food at Hammerstein Ballroom. I mean...
You know where they do sell food?
Everywhere but the Hammerstein Ballroom.
What was the other place you went to?
Terminal 5.
Terminal 5. Love Terminal 5. Yeah.
So there was that. And then... I think there was... Oh, it was Marty Scurll versus Sanjay Dutt for the TV title.
Yep, very good match. Sanjay Dutt hadn't been around in a long time. I don't even know the last time I saw him. He came back for that X Division stuff in the artist formerly known as TNA. And Sanjay Dutt, he's been around for... You know, he's been around a long time. And he had a good match with Marty Scurll. And I'm happy to say you are on the Scurll bandwagon.
I do like Marty Scurll.
He's got a good gimmick.
He might be the only heel they have left in a couple of months, so... Get on the bandwagon.
Hate that.
Jump on now. So yeah, that was a solid match. I mean, for like you said, for like a guy like Dutt who hadn't been around or at least been on.
It was
TV
a little
much.
Rough around the edges in the beginning, but they worked. Yeah, they worked to do. There's a couple of good false finishes. So
That led into it was Will Ospreay against Dragon Lee, which was Woo! Heavily advertised well in advance. Might have been the first match they actually put for
like
this
2 months ago too. That was
you know, of course, with those guys, those who watch them, you expect a high flying, a lot of aerial stuff in the match, and they didn't really disappoint. I didn't think they had a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of athletic spots, no real blown spots. The only surprise, I guess, was that Dragon Lee won the match. I didn't see that coming, but
no, me neither. And I don't have a problem with him winning. I think he's a fantastic wrestler, and he can obviously go, and those two put on a really good match. There was a reverse Hurricanrana on the outside that made me
there's a lot of crazy
jump
stuff
out of my seat. Actually, if you watch it on demand, you'll see Joe and I in the front right corner jumping up like a schoolgirl, up and down several times during that match. I was more the one jumping. I was completely marking out.
I appreciate
a 5-year-old
craft. Yeah,
I appreciate the craft. I'm not one of those dicks, for lack of a better word, at the shows. Like, they have all those smart chants, and, you know, we're like, you got a guy like BK who goes to a show, and he's like yelling at the ref for not counting three. Like, BK is the ultimate fan. That's the guy you want at the show. Then it was the Young Bucks versus Leo Rush. Sellout.
And Jay White.
And Jay White. Had a good match, you know. Mm-hmm. Leo Rush and Jay White are a couple of young lions, I believe they're called. And, you know, they're very athletic, but, you know, the Young Bucks are still the Young Bucks, and I think they shined in that match. And they had a good match, and they won with it was an Indie Taker. Indie Taker into a Meltzer driver back to back.
It's upsetting that my friend Charlie's wife is asking me on Facebook why I think Shawn Michaels is better than Bret Hart.
No, she doesn't say why. She says, how can you? Like, it's so far out of the question.
I mean,
Charlie?
I can explain it. I assume Charlie's there. I can explain why.
I hope Charlie's not there. And she's, whoever that is, too sweet. Thank you, Danielle and or Charlie. Anyway. So, Young Bucks have a good match. They win. Lights go out. Piano music plays. Sure enough, Broken or Unbroken, I don't even know what you can call them now, but Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero come out, and the Manhattan Center comes unglued. It was wild. Nobody expected the Young Bucks to be the Hardys to be there. They were there. They get in the ring. They cut a promo. Young Bucks say, put titles on the line right now, and sure enough, about 8 minutes later, Young Bucks wrestle back-to-back matches, and the Hardys get the clean pin. After Jeff Hardy gets three of his teeth super kicked out of his face. It was a good match for what it was, but the moment was almost surreal. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty big surprise. I mean, they have their match WrestleMania weekend is what it's scheduled for, and that's what they had been kind of advertising or on their Twitter and TV and all that type of stuff. So it was definitely a surprise that the Hardys showed up. Of course, the news had broken like a week or two before where they had left formerly TNA, so they were no longer under contract. So timing actually kind of worked out pretty well. So I guess ROH decided to bring them in for at least a month and then shoot this angle where they would come in as a surprise in New York and win the tag titles. So they have a rematch at Supercard of Honor, which is the weekend of WrestleMania, and that's going to be a ladder match now.
It was announced today, yeah.
So that's where that all played out. So that was obviously a really cool experience with those guys showing up out of nowhere like that.
Yeah, and like I said, the crowd was just, I mean, you were jumping up like a schoolgirl that time too. That was the only time I've seen you really mark out. I mean, I always am a child, but I saw you, there was a hop, at least a hop or two.
Mm. I don't really have good ups, right? That's what the kids call it, ups.
Yeah, no, they definitely did call it that in 1996. Hmm. And then,
pumps.
You're going to pump up your, what are they called in White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah, I don't know what they're called. I know what you mean, though.
Are they called pumps? Nope, that's what girls wear.
Pumps are like it's like a shoe, right? I don't know. It's like a, you know, sneaker, like the air.
I'm not a footologist, nor do I have like a foot thing. Keith would know. He's got a thing for feet, so I could probably just ask him.
I feel like we've gone in a different direction now.
Veering back on course. Speaking of... never mind.
After the intermission, which then took place, I believe, was a Battle Royal.
Which wasn't bad. I really don't like Battle Royals for the most part, but I thought this one was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was not bad. Matt Taven ended up winning it, so he gets a future title match.
That was bad. You know what wasn't bad? Caprice Coleman. He was funny. Cracking me up the entire time.
Matt Taven was funny, too, though. It was in the opener, he was funny.
Oh, with the Kenny Omega thing?
Yeah.
Poor man's Kenny Omega? Yeah.
So
he likes that straight face, too. He said somebody was racist
against people with curly hair.
Yep. That was
So there was that. Then there was a six-man tag, right? It was Bullet Club. It was Cody Rhodes, Adam Page, and Kazarian.
Yep.
Against
Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, and Jay Lethal, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Briscoes and Jay Lethal, yeah.
Yep. Really good match. Started out as a complete brawl. He had, it was tough for us to be in there to watch because you had, like, Jay Briscoe in the corner with Cody Rhodes, and you had, like, Mark Briscoe on the stage and somebody else there. So I'm sure it came off really cool on TV. I really liked the match. It was, it was kind of what it needed to be. And not surprisingly, Frankie Kazarian, the big heel, got the pin on Mark Briscoe. Good match for what it was, I thought.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. And then that basically led right into the main event, which was Adam Cole against Bobby Fish for the ROH World title. So I don't know exactly how long the match ran. It felt like it was probably like 15 to 20 minutes, yeah, somewhere 15. In that range. Fish was working, you know, over the knee a lot of the match, trying to get the knee bar submission like he's been going for a lot. lately, but Cole ended up kind of reversing and putting him into like a pinning position and grabbed his tights to get the pin. So he ended up winning in, like I said, I think it was like 15 to 20 minutes, somewhere in that range. Pretty good match, I think, for a main event. You know, they, obviously, if they would have went longer and done more stuff, it could have been even better, but I think it was pretty solid for what it was.
It was a very Japanese-style match, too. You know, it was picking on a limb and telling a story about it, and I really liked it, you know, throughout the whole match. Those two guys are amazing, and they do great stuff, so I think the whole card was really good top to bottom. What would you say? What would you give it? If you're going to grade it on an A to F scale.
A to F?
Yeah.
Not
including E. Like, yeah,
that's yeah, okay. Excluding
why? E. Why would they ever exclude
E? I don't know why they do
now
that.
Now that I think about it.
I'd probably go B+.
I went A-. I was a big fan of that card. I was a mark for that card. I really was. And just being there live. Oh, and after the main event. So, after Bobby Fish loses the match, the heels come out. They're beating up Bobby Fish. The Briscoes come out. And did Jay Lethal come out too?
Who was it?
Jay Lethal, did he come out too?
I think it was...
Lethal and the Briscoes, right? Or was it just...
I think it was just the Briscoes, because it was 4-on-3.
Right. I could be
and
wrong.
We were waiting for somebody to come down and be the fourth babyface.
Really hoping for Kyle. Like, you kind of got my hopes up. You're like, what did you say? You're like, you think it's going to be Kyle? I'm like...
Well, they're making you think it is over, because, like, you'd think it would have been Daniels, would have been the fourth guy, but Daniels was doing commentary during that match, and he never came down.
Yeah, so we had our eyes on him, too. I was looking at him. I was like, just making sure, you know.
And everyone, a lot of people were kind of looking towards the entrance to see who was going to come out, if somebody was going to come out, instead of just, you know, they probably weren't just going to end it with a beatdown like that. And then, sure enough, Bully Ray came out of nowhere, which I don't think anybody expected, at least I
saw. No, that was a crazy surprise, too. And then he cut a really good passionate promo about how he feels like Ring of Honor is kind of like ECW was, and... you know, he has a special place in his heart for the Manhattan Center, which I believe was the Madhouse of Extreme back in the ECW days. And I wonder if they sold food back then.
I don't know. We were there like 10, 11 years ago, or 12 years ago now, and I don't remember. I remember beer. They sold beer. I don't remember
food. They sold beer, and then we got into a fight.
Also, that was on the train, though.
That was on the train, yeah. That was the Manhattan Center.
So we don't...
Not my fault, not his fault. It wasn't.
Classic.
Did we ever tell a story on the air? Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day we'll have a Joe's Story Corner. Story time with the Stallion. The Stallion Story Corner. I'm brainstorming.
Okay.
So, after Manhattan Mayhem, that's at the top. They're just, look at these things. They're so big.
I'll move.
No, I'll move them. You want me to get another shot?
No.
So, Friday night was Ring of Honor's 15th anniversary pay-per-view, which I'm going to tell you something. I ordered it through Fight TV, right? $35 for pay-per-view, which I feel is fair.
Reasonable in this day and age.
Reasonable. It's... RJ says definitely not out of character for Pickle to be thrown down. That's RJ. I was 19 years old, and you know, a couple guys are acting all Brody on me and him on the train. And let's just say the story ended with Eazy-E showing up with a garbage pail full of weapons. I'll never forget it.
Words were exchanged.
Man, we'll get there one day. So, Super Card of Honor. Where was I going with this? Yeah. What was I saying?
No, you said 15th anniversary show.
I'm sorry, 15th anniversary
$35,
show. $35. Fight TV, $35. Yeah. If you get it on Optimum TV or Fios, whatever it is, you pay whatever you pay, and then you can't DVR it. Fight TV, I paid $35, and I have the pay-per-view in my library forever. I think that's really cool.
Hmm.
So I've watched it a couple times because I enjoyed it so much. So the main event of... this show was Christopher Daniels, who had won the Decade of Excellence tournament, taking on Adam Cole. Do you remember all the matches off the top of your head?
I mean, not all of them. They added some stuff to the card. I think they had, they opened with Jay White against Kenny King, which was pretty solid.
Yep, that was a surprisingly solid match. Yeah, and they had the six-man scramble.
The six-man scramble for a TV title shot, right, which was won by Kazarian.
Yeah, who was in that match? Any idea?
How much did you say there were six people?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Kazarian was in it. Adam Page was in it.
Leo Rush?
Leo Rush fought Marty Scurll.
Yes.
It was Adam Page. It was Frankie Kazarian. It was Silas Young. It was Cheeseburger, I'm pretty sure. That's four, right?
Yes.
Oh, Punishment Martinez.
Still want to call him Punishment
was
Martinez.
Was five. And I'm going to feel really bad that I can't remember the sixth person now. That's going to be frustrating for that man. I feel bad for that person.
I do feel bad for that person.
I guess
Joe's going to look it up. Wow. I really didn't have high hopes for this match, only because some of the scramble matches, I feel like things get a little they get a little... Is bocce a word? Can I use bocce? Like bocce ball?
Yeah, I like that game, actually.
It's me too. It's like bowling, but actually you ball off the wrong foot. So I feel like that they get a little convoluted, but this match was really clean. It was a really good match. They had a lot of spots, and there was the crowd was super into it, which I think made a difference because for some reason he's got it. Who was it?
It was Chris Sabin.
Really?
Yeah. I would not remember that if we tried for another 5 minutes.
Me neither, but it was a really good... I remember after the match, we were thinking how good of a match it was, and you don't expect much from matches that just get added to the show, like, last minute.
Mm.
But that was good. So Frank Kazarian won, which means he now... Heel, bad guy, Biz Cliz member Frankie Kazarian has a TV title shot at Marty Scurll.
That's right.
Next match was Jay Lethal and Bobby Fish. The loser of the Bobby Fish versus Adam Cole match from the week before... gets a match with Jay Lethal, and the winner, I think, gets another title shot, believe it or not. What a match these two had. You know, it's funny, because I had Jay Lethal on my... almost the top five. On my five count from 2 weeks ago about most underrated wrestlers, mm-hmm. and you had Bobby Fish on your five count. And sure. This match was... between, like, two real-deal professionals, the crowd was buying into all the near falls. These guys told... Bobby Fish is really good at focusing on the knee bar for... and working over the knee throughout the entire match. Jay Lethal is masterful in the ring, and like I said, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, and I thought these two put on one hell of a match.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. Just looking at the card overall, it was probably either... if it wasn't the best match, it was definitely like top two on the night. So,
which is a lot to say, because on a night where every match was good, and there's not a lot of cards you can say that for.
Yeah, so Jay Lethal... got the win, so I guess he gets a future title shot. I didn't say when that would occur, but he's going to get a title shot sometime in the future. So,
yep.
Then they had the 6-man tag title match, which was the Kingdom against Dalton Castle and the boys.
Do me a favor, don't edit this, but I was pleasantly surprised by the boys.
Fair enough.
Is that fair?
Okay, yeah, thanks. I won't make that a drop.
Yeah, don't make. I think somebody... never mind. I'm not gonna take cheap shots. I'm really not. I'm not gonna do it.
I didn't know. I think the match was better than I expected it would be.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that, like we mentioned earlier, right, that O'Brien ended up doing
that. That was a brutal break.
His leg hit a steel barricade on the way down on the outside, and I guess it was pretty much broken. I think he had surgery on it already, right? Like pretty much immediately. Like,
yeah, he's shared a picture of it. You know who I blame though? That jerk job in the front row who didn't move the gate.
Yeah.
I feel like, legitimately speaking, if that were me or you, I really feel like we would have pulled
it's
the...
it's on that guy, yeah, that's definitely...
yeah, he's a piece of shit.
So, then it was Marty Scurll versus Lio Rush for the TV title.
Really good match between these two. Lio Rush might be the fastest professional wrestler. He's like 1'8", but that dude is...
wow, fast.
He's
like a toddler. Right.
I'm 1'7", so I could actually call him 1'8", and it'll
be
okay.
That's not accurate.
These two had a really good match, and Marty Scurll, I think it was Ian Riccoboni who said something, and I thought it was really, really good. He did a good job in the commentary. He said that the chicken wing, Marty Scurll's finisher, isn't a flashy move. It's not a high impact move, but he applies it so well, and he's such a seasoned veteran. That's why he gets people to tap out. And I think that's just really good storytelling by a really good professional commentator. It's not a RKO out of nowhere, some, you know, high impact move. It's just like, you know, he's going to lock it in, he's going to stretch you, and you're going to have to tap. And I thought they had these two, again, they had a really good match. And flashes of brilliance from Benedict Leo Arnold Rush.
Yeah, I wish him all the best in his
future endeavors.
Involve pro wrestling, wherever he goes from there.
We'll get there.
Next match was Bully Ray and the Briscoes versus War Machine and Davey Boy Smith Jr., I guess. I don't know what his official
DBSJ.
Name is. Harry Smith. I don't know what you want to call him. But, not a bad tag match. Bully Ray's first match in Ring of Honor. They had in the 6-man here. They teased some issues with Davey Boy Smith and War Machine. As it is. Because I think they're the Killer Elite Squad, right? And War Machine have some issues from Japan. So
the deal was it was supposed to be Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr., but Lance Archer got hurt, and Ring of Honor told the story of that he was contracted and he had to be in a match. So that kind of made sense.
Then the next match was a street fight for the World Tag Team titles. It was originally supposed to be Bucks versus Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi.
And then they added the Hardys to the match, obviously, because they won the tag titles at Manhattan Mayhem, which we talked about before. So it ended up being a crazy street fight. Lots of weapons, right? There were attacks at the end.
Trent Barreto got his ass kicked.
Yeah. There was a lot of crazy stuff.
He took, like, three different bumps into the tacks, and then Matt Jackson filled his mouth with thumbtacks, and Nick Jackson super kicked him in the face. And when it's creepy to see the guy come up, like, he's selling the move, but he's obviously, like, pulling tacks out of his flesh. And Rocky Romero did the Forever Clothesline with a sleeve around his arm filled with thumbtacks. So there was just blood everywhere, and they had a really good match. The ending saw the Hardys retain when they hit a swat. Well, Jeff hit a swanton off the ladder through a table. It was a pretty high ladder. So Trent took the pin. Who's just that poor guy.
He is. I mean, you know,
sacrificial lamb.
But he's been doing. I mean, he's involved in a lot of solid matches. I think he's a good wrestler. He seems to always take the pin in a lot of these situations.
He does. Yeah. He's a very good wrestler. As a matter of fact, I just watched him versus Candice LeRae, and God, that guy can. He's
man of women violence. I do not support it.
Well, neither did Trent, which was a good story until she like kicked the shit out of him for like a good 5 minutes, and then he beat the hell out of her. Bold. Oh, PWG doing what they do. Equality, man. Feminism means believing in equality between men and women.
So then the main event was...
Read that in a book.
Adam Cole. What book was that?
Sexism and Humanities, which is a class I unfortunately had to take in college.
I thought it was maybe Green Eggs and Ham. It's a good one. Adam Cole versus Christopher Daniels for the ring. Do you need more water?
No, I do not.
It sounded like it was
dry. Bone dry. It was dry. Just like...
Okay. Adam Cole versus Christopher Daniels.
Get some water.
For the Ring of Honor. That's cool. I'll just spitball this myself for the last 2 minutes. Against Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor title. So I think the speculation really on this was just that Adam Cole's contract is running up for Ring of Honor. It's supposed to be done. We've now found out by May 1st. So this being their last pay-per-view before then, their next major show is really at the end of the month, so they could have done something there. But the question was whether he was, A, going to leave, and then, B, if he was going to leave, then what would they do with the Ring of Honor Championship, right? Would they put it on Christopher Daniels here to build up his, you know, to pay off his whole story they built up with him, never winning the world title, 15 years, all this type of stuff.
Did you just say to pay because he's bald?
Nope. It was a to space pay. Pay off, yeah. And anyway, long story short, that's what they did. So they had Daniels win the championship. The whole deal with Kazarian was he had turned and joined Bullet Club maybe a few weeks ago. At least it aired on TV a couple weeks ago. And
I think it happened in like October.
Yeah, it was taped probably like 2-3 months ago. But so he'd been in the Bullet Club. He'd wrestled a couple matches. He wrestled on the Manhattan Mayhem show, as we mentioned earlier, as part of the Bullet Club. And I think it was kind of, I don't want to say it was, I don't think it was obvious, but I think it was certainly out there that the idea was that he had kind of just joined them as a, you know, a ploy, I guess, to try and trick Bullet Club into letting him into their, whatever, inner circle.
Well, that's what you had said during the day. I'm literally such a mark, like it didn't even cross my mind. But then once you said it, I was like, that's probably what's going to happen. And it kind of makes sense because Daniels and Kazarian, they're kind of heels at heart.
Right.
They're heels that people like, you know? So I thought the match was good. I thought the finish was good. And like you said, once you said it, it kind of became obvious, but sometimes obvious isn't bad, you know? And
yeah, no, I really didn't have any problems with anything that they did. I mean, I certainly understand, like, you know, if Cole's leaving in 2 months or whatever, or even if they're unsure that he's staying or not, right? You can't leave the title on him too late into that. That's what happened with O'Reilly, right? They put the title on O'Reilly, and then all of a sudden, a month later, he was leaving, and then they had to take it off him right away. You know, they say that was the plan the whole time. I don't really buy that. So that's what they did. So Kazarian had come out. He turned on Cole, and then Daniels hit three best moonsault evers.
Best three BMEs.
BMEs, there you go.
I liked how he did three, and he didn't just pin him with one. That was good storytelling. Like, it's a moonsault, but it's the best moonsault ever, so it's going to take more than one to pin Adam Cole.
Yeah. So
did he hit him with the Angel's Wings too?
I don't think he did. You know what? I want to say that Cole hit him with the Angels' wings. Did I remember that right?
Yes, he did. Good point.
So anyway, so that's what they did, and they had a big celebration at the end where the locker room came out to celebrate a lot with Daniels, and then our feed cut out. But I later read afterwards, you probably read the same thing, that I think it was Kerry Silken presented him with the belt and also the original Ring of Honor World Championship belt from the first...
I saw that online, actually. Ring of Honor posted it because I think it happened to a lot of people.
Yeah, so that was... that was it. That was the end of the show. So it was, I guess, a feel-good moment for Christopher Daniels, who'd never really been a world champion in any major promotion. And he's in his, I think he's like in his mid-40s now, 45, 46.
He could be late 40s. He's in phenomenal shape.
He's
about the
same age as Jericho, I think, right?
Oh, so he's 100. But no, the thing about Christopher Daniels is he kind of very similar to Jericho. You know, he was a high flyer, and he still is, but he really adapted his style to work around it. You know, and he still literally has the best moonsault ever, so good for him. What do you, what'd you give the show?
It was probably like a, you mean like A to
yeah,
A through F. I think I gave it an A minus, I think.
I went A minus as well. I felt like that, two back-to-back really good, solid shows from Ring of Honor. Speaking of Kerry Silken, me and the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast got a chance to speak with him. The guy came up to us. This is a shoot. This is a straight shoot. Came up to us and he thanked us for coming to his show. Well, like... I think Kerry Silken has appreciated you and I more than either of our bosses ever have.
That's probably true.
Is that fair?
Yeah. He seemed like a nice guy.
Really nice guy. Came up to us and, you know, he said, just appreciate you guys coming out tonight. Oh, okay. I can give blood to somebody they wouldn't appreciate it. But Kerry Silken, you're okay with the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, man. Good night. As we would like to remind you, we are always brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you are listening to Damage 365 Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Life goes on for longer than I expect every time.
Yeah, every single time. Fools me. He's a Million Dollar Man.
I'd like to get a Sean Mooney drop. Can we get that?
Every time I hear he's a Million Dollar Man, I remember Kyle in his invitation. He's a Million Dollar Man.
Greatest deal of all time.
He's the greatest deal of all time. Listen. There you go. I'm not gonna cut a promo here, but I have
I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
I have a little bit of an issue with what's going on in Ring of Honor. You've taken Kyle O'Reilly from me.
Who's taken?
Is there a delay on this? Can I just curse him? Kyle O'Reilly has left Ring of Honor. Bobby Fish said the other day he's now taking independent booking, so he has gone from Ring of Honor. Adam Cole is leaving Ring of Honor. The other rumors say Dalton Castle and Leo Rush have left Ring of Honor. Now, the problem I have is not that they're leaving. Well, selfishly, I'm upset they're leaving Ring of Honor. Because I'm not going to see them in the matches that they could potentially be having. That's just... And that's indisputable. Because they're not going to get the time in WWE. And they're not going to be able to wrestle their style of matches. Are we boring? We're boring, aren't you? Is this...
People are interacting me via text about the show. I'm just trying to make sure I keep up with the audience.
Why don't they... Can't they just share it and like it?
They have.
All right.
All two of them.
So... No, there's been like 4-2 and back and forth. So that these guys are not going to get the platform. Well, I can't say they're not going to get the platform. Well, actually, no. They're not going to get their platform to demonstrate their in-ring work when they get to the WWE. As you could see with guys like Kevin Owens, with guys like Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe here and there, Nakamura obviously had to change his style, and all these guys have to change their style to make it a safer, more friendly WWE style. And I'm being selfish because I want to see these guys perform to the level they're capable of. And I'm upset that we're not going to see that in the WWE. I can't be mad at the WWE for offering these guys these contracts. Because these guys, they got into the business, because they love it, obviously. But they got into the business to make money. And that's what they have to do. And they're going to get more money. I assume so. They're going to get more money going to WWE. And they're probably going to get a more difficult schedule. But they're going to make more money for them and their family. And that's the right thing to do. But I'm just frustrated that the WWE is just poaching talent left and right of people that I love to watch, and I'm never going to see it again. I'm ready for your rebuttal. I just...
Well, I mean, we started this conversation a little earlier this morning. Right.
And I full well admit it's selfish of me. So it's not like I'm being rational.
No, I mean, I think it's just... I think the things that I would add to that are... You know, I don't... I mean, it's... Are they poaching talent? Maybe, I think. But, you know, they're making offers to guys that they want, right? I mean, these guys can either take the offers or not. So it's kind of on them, right? So the Kyle O'Reillys, the Adam Coles, the guys that have already left, right? The Roderick Strong and... you know, people along those lines, they have an opportunity to go, and they choose to go, right? Maybe they've been in Ring of Honor or independent federations for 5, 10 long years, longer than that. I don't know. So maybe they're looking to do something different. Then the other thing, I guess, is as far as the money goes, I have no insight into what contracts get offered to these guys. So I'm always speculating on what they get offered. I think some guys probably get offered more money than they're going to make on the indies. I think some guys... get offered less money than they make on the indies.
Cody Rhodes, for example, makes more money now, he says, than he made in WWE.
Yeah, I think I'm sure Drew Galloway, same thing, probably, right? And the Young Bucks make a really good living on what they do. But I know, like, I remember hearing Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens, right, talk about that. When he got offered a deal to go to NXT, it was, I think, like the same or less money than he was making, and they gave him no guarantees that he would make it to the main roster and all that stuff. And then he just performed so well that he then signed a main roster deal, which was then, of course, more money, and was appearing on Raw and SmackDown every week at that time when it was there was no brand split. So
I would say they gave him no guarantee. They thrust him right into the main event in NXT.
No, I mean, he said that was from him. He said they gave him no guarantee of how successful he would be there and all this type of stuff. Like, they didn't. They told him there was no guarantees of what they were going to do with him. And
in regards to the main roster. Okay, so you say they thrust him, he was...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't promise him anything when he started, is what he said. So I don't know if he... I'm sure he didn't know when he started that they were going to put him into a program with Zayn. He didn't know that they're, you know, how quickly he was going to come to the main roster, if at all, right? So that was one thing. So as far as the money goes, I don't know. I'm sure some guys, like the, you know, the Styles, Nakamura, and, like, Gallows and Anderson, those guys, I'm sure they got... You know, more money to come.
They had to, because they were making insane amounts.
But other guys may not. Like, I don't know what Roddy gets. So that's the other thing. And I guess the other thing too is then it's a broader platform, right, to go and work in NXT, or, you know, eventually if you get to the main roster, right? So a guy like Chris Hero, for example, who had been there before, right, and then left, and now he's back there again now. You know, if you didn't order an Evolve iPay-per-view, then you can't watch Chris Hero wrestle unless you go to a show in person, pretty much, right? But, like, now that he's in NXT, you can watch NXT, and he's on TV every week. Well, at least he's on the network every week.
Right.
And he's on, then he's going to be on the specials and stuff like that, which is the more people can see him, you know, wrestle and do work, do his thing in that platform. So I think that's another reason why guys probably choose to go, in addition to, you know, maybe they get more money, maybe not, but they get more exposure, eyes on them, and that's just kind of what it is. Like, if you're not... ROH has a weekly TV show. It's not broadcast across the country, right? Like, we don't get to see it on TV here. We have to watch it on, like, an app or online or something like that. So...
is it Pop?
It's Pop TV. I think it was Destination America at the time when they were on for, like, a couple of months, right? And then they
made it, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So so that's all. I think that's what it is. So certainly, I think, WWE is trying to gobble up as much talent as they can, because now they've got... Raw, they got SmackDown,
there's so
NXT,
much, you know,
205 Live.
BK and I were talking about that, and he said, does it seem like they're poaching more talent now than ever before? And I was like, to an extent, but I think now they have so much time to fill on the network, and they have so much... that's a very good point, RJ, too. And, I mean, a guy like Chris Hero, though, I mean, he's wrestled in almost every continent for, you know, so many different promotions... But I feel like that's why I respect, and before you roll your eyes, I'm going to...
Yeah. Oh, is this going to be a Kenny Omega comment?
Well, he's part of it. But that's why I respect guys like a Kenny Omega, like the Briscoe brothers and like the Young Bucks, who kind of come out, you know, they stay where they are. They don't just take them... Well, the Young Bucks probably make more on merch than anybody in the entire world. I think that's true.
I would guess,
But the Briscoe brothers and, you know, Kenny Omega said it because Kenny Omega had a WWE deal on the table. And... he said his main worry was he's out there. Kenny Omega is not your average guy. He really thinks I don't want to turn this into a bashing thing. I'm just being honest. Like, he thinks differently than most wrestlers do, right? Would you say that? He said he wants to make masterpieces in the ring, and I can respect that because I'm sure he's got to be getting paid very... I don't know how much New Japan pays, nor do I understand like their pay structure.
Yeah, I'm not too
but
sure.
I'm sure he's getting a lot of money, but his main gripe was there's so much talent in the WWE currently that's not being used to their potential, and he feels like he has more to offer, maybe with his style that it wouldn't translate very well, and he has more to offer in the ring than he could show. And to an extent, I think he's right, because you see a lot of people being a little handcuffed in the WWE as to what they can do, and they're not getting anywhere near as much time. I mean, look at your entire cruiserweight division. You have, you know, Rich Swann, TJ Parker. The list can go on and on, but you're getting 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes every single week. So, yes, you're getting exposure, but, you know, you're not getting the ability to do what you really can do. So that's my only problem with the WWE is that I would have no problem if they sign these guys and they let them do their thing, but me, just like I said, just being selfish, I want to see the matches that these guys are capable of. That's all. It just hurts my heart, man. Unless we can get like a Red Dragon / DIY / who are those mechanics?
Revival.
The Revival program. Like, let's get a program like that. We're not. We're going to get Milo Kiley and Johnny Salmon, and they're going to be the new blue
fish,
iguanas.
Blue fish. I say they give Johnny Salmon to Bobby Fish. You see in the fish realm there, right?
That's where I'm with that. Yeah. I tried him. You know, we'll see what happens. I can't wait to Swagger Jack shows up on Impact.
Swagger Jack.
So, what are we at? That's my rant. RJ, do you agree with me? Do you ever wrestle a Japanese style, for instance, over the course of a career? But yeah, that's true. Although, speaking of a Japanese style, you have a guy like Ishii who literally just gets punched in the face for like 30 to 40 minutes in a match. And that guy is still putting on great matches. The New Japan Cup is currently going on. So, actually, while RJ's listening, RJ, did you watch any of the New Japan Cup? And if so, were you surprised that Ishii beat Omega in the first round? I will just sit here and wait for your response.
We're just going to wait?
Yeah, we'll just wait. Nobody's watching.
Okay.
Right? It's just you and I?
Well, we are recording this on audio.
Oh, yeah, so we can't. I forgot we're doing
a lot of people to listen
to. Multi-platform?
Sure.
Just so you know, real quick, my prediction for the New Japan Cup is going to be Shibata victory. So this is... Wow, this Shibata is our most victory. Liked live... Look at that. Our most liked live video yet. You know, that makes me feel good. It feels like we're doing something right. But I think watching. Thank you. We appreciate that, Charlie. I think Shibata's going to win the New Japan Cup and get a title shot. It was a very interesting first round. A lot of upsets. Pretty much everybody that we picked lost.
For the most part.
Yeah.
RJ doesn't have New Japan Worlds, so...
You are the biggest New Japan mark I know.
Just watching on Daily Motion, dude. That's what I do when I need to.
I like to give my $8.72 to New Japan, okay?
Okay.
They need it over there.
I mean, some people, you know, some people don't want to spend their yen on New Japan.
Okay, well, some people do. Some people appreciate the product. I'm the reason Kenny Omega's not in WWE yet, because I'm paying his salary, man.
You know what? I appreciate that. I think that's, you know what? I think to kind of build off what you said, I mean, they're... You know, whatever these guys decide to do, it's their choice, right? I mean, so if he wants to stay and work in Japan, I mean, I think it's rare. Like, there's few American wrestlers that want to go make their name in Japan, but there's some that do it. Stan Hansen, I think, was a guy like that, kind of like that. Like, he had some U.S. success, but I think when I think a guy like Stan Hansen or like Terry Gordy or somebody like that, like
I was going to say those guys, Steve Williams, Johnny Ace, you know, Johnny Ace. Well, he was huge in Japan. He was there for like 10 years.
That's bold.
Scott Norton.
That's bold.
Like, these guys left these guys left America to do it in Japan. I mean, if you're about that, literally, if you're about that life, Vader, it's a good point. Although he did come to WWF and WCW, but, like, if you can live in Japan and you're, like, literally about that life, then, you know, go do your thing. And, you know, and if they believe in you, they'll give you the platform. They're not limited creatively, I feel like, over there, you know? So if Okada wants to go out, I mean, Okada, wow. Yeah, actually, no, if Okada wants to go out and wrestle a doll for 45 minutes, they're going to give him, you know, time to do that. So
perhaps they should work on putting some limitations on these things.
Well, New Japan doesn't do that, but DDT and the other ones do.
Oh, that's upsetting.
There's a lot going on here? HBK is legit.
Thank you.
There's a
My friend Mike standing up for me and Charlie.
RJ. Charlie. RJ, if you're listening, you're the tiebreaker. Who's better, Bret Hart or HBK? Actually, I would love to put that up to a vote with all of our listeners who are not currently watching.
I think we've tried that before. It's...
Well, now we have his...
pretty well documented.
There's some interest. So, well, while RJ is responding to that, do you want to touch on SmackDown and Raw this week before we wrap up?
I guess quickly we can touch on it. As far as SmackDown goes, thank you, RJ.
Oh, come on, RJ.
Another sweep of a for monkey the monkey kid, my friend. You know, as far as SmackDown goes, I was not a huge fan of the show this week. They had the only thing really of note, I would say, was the whole AJ Styles angle with Shane McMahon, where he kind of basically attacked him in the garage area, put his head through a window. And as they were running out of time, as they went off the air, Shane announced that he was going to face AJ at WrestleMania. So that was really it. The rest of the show I thought was not really that good.
No, I didn't think so either.
It was kind of middling at best. They didn't really have a lot of stuff. I think there was, I don't even know if Ambrose appeared on the show. If he did, I missed him.
That's why the show wasn't good, because you didn't get your daily dose of Ambrose.
No, I'm just kind of...
Finally, it comes full circle.
I'm just kind of throwing out, like, they're no, the like main guys. Names, he wasn't even on the show. Obviously, Cena and Miz, did a promo segment with the ladies. That was, so you kind of missed out on a lot of stuff. The main event was American Alpha against the Usos. And the crowd was... It was in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is apparently notorious for having horrible crowds.
Really?
Yes. Actually, Pittsburgh and the Coliseum were apparently notorious for having like the quietest crowds at wrestling shows, for WWE shows.
According to him. Because I thought the Coliseum was pretty big. It was pretty loud.
It's on the interwebs a lot. So I mean,
there's a lot on the interwebs. I could see...
Yep, sure you can, buddy. So that was SmackDown. Do you have any...
I think the American Alpha needs to lose the tag team titles to the SAP. There is zero heat for them, and I like what I really like what the Usos are doing. They kind of have this new they remind me of the Booyah Tribe. I think I've said this before. So the Booyah Tribe. They were on the infamous Judgment Night soundtrack from the 1993 rap rock movie.
Was it Suge Knight?
No. Actually, Judgment Night was Biohazard and Onyx on there. It was a great, great movie.
I feel bad we didn't pay tribute to Biggie on this podcast. I feel like that was a big thing going around the last week or so.
I think Paige probably paid tribute to Biggie.
Wow. That's strong. Raw. I don't remember a whole lot about Raw other than Goldberg is the world champion now. Excuse me. Universal champion.
Yeah, what are you... On Divas, Raw. World champion? Where are we, man?
What decade am I living in? I don't even know.
Yeah. Wait. BK was at the house show at Madison Square Garden.
He was this past Sunday.
Yeah,
he did a great job.
Sat front row right next to Shane's kids. But apparently, Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens went roughly a minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was a quick one. It was a quick one.
Not just Xavier Woods either.
My God.
So.
Just relentless.
I think at a house show. You know, so BK really put over the house show. So there's a lot of really good wrestling on there. I would be a little upset if I was going to see Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens and I saw a minute's worth. But that's just me. So they're really...
I think that's just what you should expect now with Brock, right? He's just not going to... If he's going to go more than like 5 minutes, it's going to be on like a major pay-per-view, right? That's just kind of... He doesn't even wrestle on Raw at all.
He's got that great contract. Good for him.
Yeah, he earned it. That's, you know... So we'll see.
By testing positive for steroids?
I don't see what that has to do with.
I think Aaron did. But I will say
probably Paul Heyman. Probably being their biggest draw, I would say. Right? Him and Cena are probably their biggest draws. So.
Probably. Heyman cut a really good promo again this week, as usual. But I like you said, as far as Raw, I don't.
There's a lot of a beard appreciation going on the Facebook Live right now, I feel like. Which, I mean, you know what? I respect that. I think, thank you, Mike. My friend Mike from high school. Back when I couldn't even grow probably a mustache. And now he's appreciating
it. We all have those days where we had like that little mustache where it was like seven hairs on each side.
Wispy.
Wispy, wow. Wispy, yeah. My friend Neil actually said we should have a segment called Behind the Beard. That was a really good idea.
We tried that once. I came up with a catchphrase and then you pooped all over it on the air. That's what I remember.
What was your catchphrase?
I don't know. I may have something on the fly. And you're like, no, it doesn't really sound that good. I was like, no, that's all right. I'll be sitting over here being a piece of crap about myself. That's fine.
Nah, not at all. Anything else on Raw of note that you could remember?
Not really. I mean, they're just. Oh, the whole thing at the end with Rollins, I guess, is the most notable thing.
Oh yeah, right.
So they're building the whole night to Stephanie McMahon had forced Mick Foley to choose somebody to fire.
I hated this so much. I hated it.
He ended up, so the whole show like kind of sort of built up with several segments to that at the end. And then they came out and basically said he was going to fire Stephanie. That led to Triple H coming out. They had a couple of, took a couple of barbs at each other, I guess, back and forth. Perhaps some shoot comments that may or may not have been intended to be shoot comments during the promo.
Is that Foley and Triple H?
Yeah, some things back and forth there. But
I feel bad when he calls him like a decrepit old man. Like, yeah. It kind of makes me feel bad.
Yeah, I think some of that stuff seemed like they hit a little bit home.
Yeah, how do you okay that? You know, it's like, hey, Foley, I'm going to come at your broken hip and body. It's like, I don't know. But actually, Stephanie McMahon seems like she doesn't have a problem shooting on anybody, so... Good for her.
So then they basically told him to leave. He ended up giving Triple H Mr. Socko.
God, that was so...
Stephanie hit him with a low blow. And then Seth Rollins came out with a crutch. And then he did the whole dramatic situation where he dropped the crutch and ran the ring. Beat up Triple H for a little bit, threw him out of the ring. Triple H then came back with said crutch and just, I don't know. He ended up getting the better of Rollins with the crutch at the end. And he stood tall, of course, to end the show, so... Stunning development.
Yeah, I hated the fact that Triple H stood tall at the end of the show. I have no problem of him standing tall if you're going into Mania, but I think if you're going to have Seth Rollins come back, a triumphant return, the crowd pops, etc., 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 have Seth Rollins look strong for 1 week instead of getting buried under the political sole of Triple H's shoe. Like he just, and Stephanie McMahon is, God, she's worse than Josh Matthews. That's saying a lot. Is absolutely terrible. Would make the show so much better if she was off it. And at least Foley... that was the thing, too. She wanted Mick Foley to fire somebody. And that was the whole episode. She wanted to fire somebody. So finally, at the end, Foley fired Stephanie McMahon. Obviously, it didn't work. But I can't listen to her anymore. And not because, like... I get it. She's a heel. And if she was doing heel stuff. But she's, like... She's nobody, that... has any business talking down to talent is really, I guess, what kind of bothers me. Like when Johnny Ace did it, what's his name?
John Laurinaitis.
John Laurinaitis did it. It's a little bit different. He's been in the ring and stuff like that. But I just feel like Stephanie is such a...
Yeah. Well, and they also used to, when Laurinaitis would come out, they used to make fun of him like relentlessly and like dig on him. Like Punk was like, would not let up with him. And like nobody really does that with Stephanie, right? Like this was the first time Foley kind of stood up for himself for the first time like in a while, and like he actually said some things about her like that were kind of negative, which is like you never really get that with Stephanie, right? She just yells at people and they just back down usually. So that's
the only time I remember anybody going over on Stephanie was Vicky Guerrero's last show.
She threw her in like the mud or something like that, right? That was one thing. I mean, it used to happen like back in the day.
Yeah, she would take bumps and like get pedigree and stuff. Yeah. I was just watching like something 06 or 05, and she took a clothesline over the top rope from Triple H, and I marked out for it. I was like so excited to see her get clotheslined 10 years ago because of how terrible she is today.
Yeah.
And every time anybody like comes back at her at all, like she just buries them tenfold. But she, like, her comments are like almost shoot comments, right? Like they're like, they kind of are in that realm of, is she just being a dick or, like, I don't know. She's tough to listen to, especially when she's talking down to, like, Sasha and Bayley and, like, your superstar female wrestlers.
Actual athletes.
Even though they're a foot shorter than you and you obviously accentuated because you wear heels that look, like, this big on, God, she just gets me so mad. No, but you're right, there's nobody... I heard there was going to be a rumored Sasha versus Stephanie McMahon match. Is that true?
I don't know. I had speculated on that maybe like a month or two ago. They had like a backstage segment or something like that. And this was before the whole WrestleMania card had taken shape. And I was like, oh, maybe they'll do something with Sasha and Stephanie at WrestleMania and let Bayley and Charlotte do their own thing. Obviously, that's not happening. But it wouldn't surprise me. I guess Sasha's heel turn is kind of... upcoming. I don't know when that's going to be taking place, but it seems like that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And if that happens, I don't think she'll be working Stephanie.
That's true. But you have the face turn from Dana Brooke, so something to write home about this week on Monday Night Raw.
Money has been drawn.
Yeah, and then Nia Jax destroyed Bayley again. The booking of Bayley as a champion is so beyond questionable. I don't even know where to begin. But you have her lose to Nia Jax, like. Destroyed by Nia Jax, and then she got pinned the week before, but she beat Charlotte on pay-per-view. She's like a tweener. I don't know. Bayley's got no heat going into WrestleMania, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I mean, when she gets beat every other week and her promos are not good, and that's not a good formula.
On Raw Talk with Bayley.
Oh yeah, the only time they had her reading poems in the ring, that was good.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. That was terrible.
It's not good booking.
No, it was a rough week for WWE TV. We got 3 minutes. I will say the only thing I really did enjoy this week was Bobby Roode versus Chris Hero in NXT. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did.
What did you think of that match?
I thought it was good.
Very, very stern, very steadfast.
Yeah. I don't have emotions anymore, so this is just what it is.
Is this what, like, Ted Bundy was like right before?
I don't know. I fear reading up on Ted Bundy in the sense that I may... You know, turn into him. So I'm gonna.
You read things like I feel that. I agree with that. I could see why. Like when you start agreeing with a serial killer.
There was a commercial for like a documentary on Charles Manson I saw today, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I should not. I should stay away from this.
So I was at work, and some like 70-year-old woman. It was like 8:30. She's like, I have to get home and watch Charlie Manson. I'm like, what? So like, apparently that's a thing.
Priorities. This woman needs to check her priorities.
Priorities. Or just hang out with you and listen to it. So there's no emotions coming from this guy anymore?
No. This is it.
Okay.
I apologize for anybody who's looking for some sort of... I'm sure at some point it'll, you know, I'll get fired up about something, but...
You were pretty hot when I got here. You had some heat.
This is it. match was good. It kind of stinks that Hero lost his first match back, but...
Clean, no cheating, no nothing. He cuts his promo about how he's coming back for the title. He never had it. And then, boom, Chris Hero loses to the worst and stupid finisher.
Well, I guess, you know, I don't know what the... I don't want to assume anything. I got to figure that they don't really probably have much planned for Hero. Right? They're just going to use him in NXT. Maybe he'll help with training and stuff like that because he's got a lot of experience. I don't see him being a main roster guy anytime in the near future. So maybe they're just going to, I don't know, draw him out down there with different feuds, work with different guys, maybe some younger guys. I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'm throwing something out there. But
he's like elongated enhancement talent?
Maybe. I don't want to say he's going to be like a jobber or anything, but like, you know, he's enough of a name and a talent, obviously, where you can stick him in all these feuds like at whatever level you want, and I'm sure he'll get something good out of it. But I'm going to guess that like long term, like their plan is not to have him be like a main roster player, right? Like he's got to get in better shape and... All these things have to happen before that would take place.
So. He could still do a kip up, which like most other people on the roster can't do. So
yeah, I mean his matches are great. I mean it's not. I mean
he's a great athlete,
regardless too. Of how he looks. I mean,
and I did like while we're on NXT, make it quick. I did like there was a promo for Aleister Black, aka Tommy End. So they're putting some creative juices behind him. So I think that'll be I'm a big fan of him, and we have him and Hero, you know. They've wrestled before. They wrestled together before. They've been a tag team before. So they could go into an Aleister Black versus Chris Hero. Chris Hero.
Cassius Ohno? Is that
Tommy End and Chris Hero.
I do. His theme music is stuck in my head. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. It's on my workout playlist. They have that, but they still don't have... who's...
Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick. That's BK has been clamoring for the Brian
I actually
Kendrick.
Check for BK.
Yeah, so do I. Because I feel absolutely
bad.
Do.
And I don't understand why it's not there. I don't get it.
Me neither.
Seems like inappropriate.
They have so much other stuff, but I don't know. What else is that? Are we done? We talk for an hour.
I think we're good. Yeah, we got about an hour.
I'm gonna go eat fast food again because I'm a fat piece of shit.
That's not true. But I mean, you're welcome. I mean, you should be able to eat fast food if you like. I think that's because you're obviously in top peak physical condition, so you should be able to eat whatever.
I look like a young Bastion Booger.
That's no.
I look like Norman the Lunatic and Kamala.
That's
met
not,
with Paige.
I don't. Oh.
And had a child.
This is, you know what? You know, I'm just going to get, I want to give props to everybody who joined the Facebook Live.
Yeah, tonight. Thanks. Like, really nice of you guys. And we got thumbs up.
RJ was out there contributing. My friend, my buddy Mike from high school out there.
Yeah.
My friend Charlie.
Danielle
big fan.
Was out there.
Charlie.
Telling you
that. And yeah, his wife, Danielle. I got to give props to Charlie, not only for watching us on Facebook Live, but also getting his wife to watch us on Facebook Live and watch wrestling with him. To know all the stuff that's going on in the current state of wrestling right now.
And she's obviously very well educated since she thinks Bret Hart is better than Shawn Michaels.
Nope, she...
And thank you, RJ, for, you know, I appreciate it.
Nobody was on your bandwagon with that. Let's just put that.
I'm pretty sure...
Charlie obviously was. Charlie, my friend Charlie, is a known Bret Hart supporter. That's...
I would also support the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will be. Well, this is 59:43. We could probably go. This conversation go on for a long time. Hearts and love and five people watching. Man, you guys, I don't know what it is about us. I don't really feel like I do anything well.
I don't do anything well. I know that. That's
we're two guys that just don't do that much well. But we thank you guys for checking it out. And again, if you want to listen to the show, you can find us at Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com/show/ANLWP. At Twitter, at All Night Long WP. On Facebook, Facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. Instagram, at All Night Long WP. And while we're thanking people, we should also thank Kerry Silken.
Kerry Silken, yes. Really? Please follow us on Twitter. We need real Twitter followers and less porn bots. If we can get more real people and less porn bots. Not that I don't appreciate the porn bots, but I need. I mean,
but it sucks when it's like you have 300 followers and then you have 100 because they deleted all the porn bots.
Yeah, it's you know.
But yeah, and interact with us on Twitter. Like I said, if you go back to the Ring of Honor Manhattan Mayhem, I was live tweeting that. There was pictures and reviews. The Dragon Lee picture is still trending. I don't know what it is.
All right.
We are what we are, man. But we appreciate everybody's support. And till next time, he's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. We're the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We're tapping out.